Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Richard Pfeiffer joins us again today. And Richard, it's been a lot of fun to have you back in studio with us over the last two or three days.
Well, it's been fun to be back for those two or three days. It's nice to talk about the things of Christ and to talk to people out there.
Well, we're at the time of the year where in a couple of days the calendar's going to change. We're going to roll over to a new year, 2020. It's a new decade for us as well. You have some thoughts, some biblical wisdom to help us approach this new year and how to face 2020 with some hope and some positive vibes, I guess. So
yeah.
Share some of your thoughts about how we do that.
As it would work out, the Bible does have something to say about these sort of things. I'm going to start in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved? You think Peter's trying to make a point
here? Yeah, I think he is.
And the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is a description from Peter about our future hope. Hope is always guaranteed because of the person who makes the statement regarding the hope. It's about Jesus and what he is going to do. That word dissolved in the English Standard Version is a very powerful word, and it literally means to demolish or to be destroyed by fire, to melt. It is a destructive word.
It's not like an Alka-Seltzer in water.
No, dissolving. No, it's not plop, this plop, is fizz, fizz. It's fire, baby. Yeah. No, it's going. And we trust, and we know this because of 1 Corinthians 15, that everything is going to be burned up, and that's how God is going to recreate and start over again. Well, how does that help me as I move into 2020? Well, Paul uses the same word in a slightly different way in Ephesians 2. But now Christ Jesus, who you were once far off, But now in Christ Jesus, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. So he's talking about how Jesus brings Jew and Gentile together. And how does he do it? Well, he uses that same word that Peter used that is translated dissolve, as in destruction. It's translated has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall. So something has been destroyed that separated us from each other and separated us from God. And that is, he abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. And to abolish means to render inactive, idle, useless, ineffective, all of that. So what happened when Jesus came? He died once for all. He was completely victorious over sin. 3 days later, he rose again, completely victorious over death, and now offers us that life. Notice that the same thing that is going to happen in the future relative to the whole earth and the universe itself has happened internally to each person who has accepted Christ as their Lord and God. He has destroyed, dissolved that dividing wall by abolishing the law. He has made us one with himself. That's how you move forward into a new year. We have the word faith, right? It means that you're completely positive of the future. And we have assurance even about the things that we don't see right now in the present. Well, that assurance in both cases is because of Jesus. And if you're going to walk into a new year, which is a time of new beginnings and new starts, then the last thing you want to do is say to yourself, this year I'm going to lose 50 pounds, or this year I'm going to quit smoking, or this year I'm going to get that new job, or this year. Notice the word I in there. None of this has to do with I. It all has to do with Jesus. So, moving into a new year, if you haven't accepted Jesus, accept him. That would be the best thing you could do in your entire life. Do it right now, moving into the new year. If you are a child of God, quit wrestling with yourself about things you think you need to accomplish next year, but instead focus on Jesus and walk into a new year at complete rest and peace, knowing that he has your back, he's got your front, he is moving you exactly where you need to be at exactly the right time you need to be there. This is guaranteed.
Yeah, and that's such an important point, Richard. Everything starts, as far as God is concerned, from a place of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And you've looked at that as far as creation, and you've talked about that numerous times here on Basic Gospel. But God created, he created us on the sixth day in his image, then he rested.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, if we're going to enjoy that relationship with God, we have to be at a place of rest as well. And
yes,
we were perfectly made, complete, just fully human, enjoying this relationship. And sin kind of changed that, brought restlessness into the mix. And when we come to Christ and rest in his finished work, we're exactly the place where God wants us to be, so that good things can flow from that place, right?
Yeah, the very power of sin and death in our lives has dissolved in the presence of Jesus. We've got to celebrate that.
Yes.
Now, the best way to celebrate it is to rest in it, allow him to be who only he can be.
Yeah. Oh, my, Richard, excellent insight, great points, and great way to start 2020, resting in Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We welcome you to the airwaves as well. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, go ahead and call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard, tomorrow is December 31st. It's a big day as far as our ministry is concerned, meeting our funding needs. We've had just a generous outpouring of support over this month, but we do have a ways to go. We still need about $75,000 to come in between now and December 31st, midnight. So if you could help us with a gift of whatever amount, we don't care what you give, but if you're interested in participating in what God is doing through Basic Gospel, if you're interested in getting the good news out to as many people as possible, we want you to be a part of the Basic Gospel team. Join Basic Gospel Nation, and let's stand together in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, a gift of 50, a gift of 100, whatever it might be, whatever you and the Lord kind of work out that you want to give at this time of the year, please do so. You can make a contribution online by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all of the instructions there. And while you're there, be sure and request a copy of our Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. We want to send that to you as our way of saying thanks and as a monthly and daily reminder to you of all the wonders of God's grace that has been made real in your life through the work of Jesus Christ. So you can go to basicgospel.net, or you can call and talk to Michelle right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, we've got some calls and lots of questions that we want to get to. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Let's go and talk quickly to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Quickly? I'm not sure that's possible.
Well, the new year's just on us, man. We got to move.
Well, I can't extol the blessings that I have received from Basic Gospel. And everybody, not only this year, but since 1987. And I just love everything that you guys do, the message that you proclaim, the message that continually builds and builds and builds in me. I can't express if people that are listening will just hang with this ministry, whether financially or prayerfully or just listening, the blessing of that just cannot be explained. You just need to experience it. And especially from Richard Piper, who has been a ghost.
No, I just haven't been here at all.
Well, Brad, you said something I think vitally important. Our first desire for people is to simply sit and listen to hear what the message is. You know, our tagline is "Hear it, believe it, live it," and we want people to hear what Jesus Christ has done. Yeah. I mean, that's the most important thing for us, and those who support it. Support our ministry, stand with us so that we can get that message out and people can hear it, they can consider it, they can look at all the evidence of Christianity, of Jesus, of what he's accomplished. They can dig into the Word of God and come to that point and say, this is truth. I want to believe this truth. I want to stand on the fact that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead, and I want to receive his life. And then there's the living aspect of it. So, again, that takes listening. That takes hearing the message. So we want that for people. We want people to stick with us, to stick with this ministry, this radio broadcast, give themselves a chance to fully grasp what the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. And Brad, we thank you for hanging out with us for so long and for being a part of our lives and for allowing us to be a part of yours. So happy new year. We'll look forward to a great 2020 together.
Both to you. Love you both and to your families, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Brad. Bye-bye, Brad. Sure appreciate it. Well, Pat has a great question, I think, Richard, and I think you're going to have some great insights for Pat. He says, I'm born again, and Pat's from Rockwell, Texas. He sent this to us via email. He says, I'm born again, trusting in Jesus Christ by faith to save me, but the word repent scares me some. It seems I commit the same sin or sins over and over, and I'm afraid that the Lord will get tired of my confessions. Please address this. Now, I identify. I'd come to the Lord every night and say, hey, I'm here again, did the same thing again, and going to lift it up to you and ask for your forgiveness, and hopefully tomorrow I won't fall. But what does this word repent mean, and how does it apply? How is it relevant to us if we're not saved, and how is it relevant to us as saved believers?
Okay. Well, first of all, repent isn't a word about sinning and behavior. Repent is a salvation word. It means that I take a look at what direction I'm going, and I say, this isn't enough. This isn't going to cut it. I'm not getting closer to God. I'm running away from him. I don't want to do this. And it happens because the Holy Spirit is constantly working on us, even when we're lost, saying, you know, Jesus has an answer for this. And when we begin to listen, the Holy Spirit says, let's turn and look at a different target. And that's what the word means, to change one's mind. Not just to change it to say, well, I'm going to go south, southeast instead of south. No, it means that you're turning completely around and have a brand new target in mind. In this case, whatever I was looking at for meaning and purpose, I'm going to leave it alone, turn around and look at Jesus. That is repentance. And as soon as I've done that, I am saved. Well, where does the behavior come into it? Well, now that I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I'm now in this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I repent a little bit, not for salvation, but I repent from looking at my sin. I'm now with Jesus. I'd better behave. You know, I owe him that much. And as soon as you look at your behavior, you've looked away from Jesus, and Satan has you right where he wants you. So if you're dealing with besetting sin, that means you're staring at that sin and you cannot get your eyes off of it. Stop, look at Jesus, thank him for the forgiveness, and let the Holy Spirit change the way you focus on other things. And the more you look at Jesus, the less you will look at these other sins that used to bug you so much. I mean, I had the same experience. Every day, oh, Lord God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I finally gave up and said, I'm done with this. And he said to me, it's about time.
Yes.
It turns out I had been fighting him all the way instead of saying, Lord, I can't do this. To which he replies, I know you can't, but I can. And then things began to change. I had to stop fighting and trying to prove myself and allow him to demonstrate in me every moment of every day that he indeed lives inside of me and is moving me forward.
Well, and Richard, as far as Pat is concerned, he has no assurance.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably prayed to receive Christ like I did hundreds of times.
Yeah.
So he's not sure that it's ever taken. So how do we give him assurance? What's going to be some good words to Pat? I know for me, it was coming to grips with the fact that my sins had been forgiven, all of them, past, present, and future, that the blood of Jesus actually worked and cleansed me once and for all. And then I said, well, hey, I'm right in God's sight. And that was big for me. So I would think that would be helpful to Pat as well.
Yes. So there are many passages in Romans about this. My favorite passage for assurance is John 10. Read the whole chapter of John 10, because this is Jesus talking. And he says little things like, my sheep know my voice. They're in my hand. No one can pry them out of my hand. No one can pry them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one. That is a statement from Jesus himself saying, when you belong to me, you belong to me entirely. And some little sin that is eating your lunch right now has already been dealt with. So focus on whose you are and who you are as a child of God, and allow him to change you from the inside out, because he will, because you have been declared righteous, you have been justified, you have been forgiven. This isn't stuff that we pay for down the road. It's stuff that he paid for once and for all on the cross.
Yeah, it's just as you said at the beginning, it's finding your place of rest in Christ and then moving forward from there, letting good things flow out of that place of rest. Well, Yvette wrote to us, and she has an interesting question about human trafficking. And human trafficking is a huge problem, not only here in America, but worldwide. I mean, it's just the statistics are so alarming, just stunning. And she says, I want to know, how do we as believers pray for this senseless crime and the evil men and women that are behind it? I have someone close to me that felt threatened by a situation like this, but thank God that she wasn't hurt. But she did have a close encounter. So she says, I pray a lot. Some of the victims are children. It breaks my heart. So how do we pray in this particular about this particular issue? And I think another question is, how can we get involved? I know our own Greg Park, our engineer, he works through a local church here in the Dallas area, and I think he goes out twice a month canvassing different trafficked areas. And just is on the outlook and passes out information if anyone sees anything. And I think they're making a difference as far as this is concerned. But it's a huge problem. It's something that the church needs to recognize and to be involved with somehow, some way, certainly through prayer. So how do we get involved?
Well, the first thing you've got to realize is a problem like this is so huge that if you decide that something must be done and you're looking at the big problem, what you're trying to do is boil the ocean. How much heat would it take to boil the ocean? You can't do it. But you can act locally. And so in your prayers, of course you're praying for law enforcement so that they can find this and root it out and stop it and rescue those people. You're working through your local church. You're praying for the people who are involved in perpetrating this. Please, Lord, do something to bring them to you. And if not, something that will make a mistake and get them arrested and stopped. So that kind of prayer is completely legitimate. But then ask, okay, Lord, is this something you've put on my heart that I should be involved in? And if it is, He will continue to lead you to organizations like Greg has found or to other situations where you can help out on a local basis, where what you have to say and what you have to offer to the people who have been caught up in this really makes a difference. It's one-on-one is where the gospel is spread. The gospel isn't spread by having some government someplace saying, well, now Jesus will take care of it. It's not going to happen.
Right, right.
It's the individual working through local organizations.
Yeah, I used to, as a young believer in my early 20s, I would just rail on the inconsistencies of the church and helping the impoverished in our area. And I'd just talk to the leaders all the time. We've got to do more. We've got to do more. And finally, it's like the Lord took a 2x4 and said, you know, open your eyes. Why aren't you getting involved? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. I got involved, and it's like, wow, this love thing is powerful, but sometimes rolling up your sleeves, that's hard work. It's inconvenient. You know, it takes you out of your comfort zone. But I think when you're really trusting the Lord, He empowers you to get involved in ways that just move you, change you, and help change others. In this particular situation, rescuing people. Yeah. So
the last thing you want to do is say, I've got to do something. You're going to put yourself out there and Satan is going to whack you.
Yeah.
If God is putting this on your heart, He is going to lead you into those situations where you can be most helpful with your skill set and with the Spirit leading you.
Absolutely. Well, let's go hear this phone call from Joy in Northern California.
Greetings to you, Bob, and thank you so much for your program, and have a blessed New Year. This is Joy from Northern California, and I have a quick question. I would like to know what you think about preterism. I am not into it, but I have a friend who is, and her husband. And I'm kind of worried about it, because as far as I understand from CSN and other sources that I've read, it is not biblical. It's not true. So I'd like to hear your opinion on it. Thank you very much, Bob. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a great question. And the word preterism is simply a word that means past. It speaks of things that have already happened. Mm-hmm. So it's a viewpoint about Scripture, about end times. And I think there's three different major viewpoints of what's going to happen in the future, and this happens to be one of them. And Richard, that's kind of your wheelhouse right there.
Yeah, those who take the preterist point of view believe that the vast majority of Revelation took place in the first century, and therefore all we're waiting for is the return of Jesus. That's the simplest way to put it. Then, of course, there are those, and they're very well-meaning people. I wouldn't say they're lost or anything. There are others who disagree completely with them and say, well, it's all out there in the future, yet to come. The key here is not to look at Revelation as what is going to happen next. The key is to look at Revelation and say, what does this say about Jesus? Is he victorious or not?
Yes.
And the overwhelming conclusion in the letter of Revelation is that Jesus is absolutely victorious. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is in control of the future. Satan is not, and it's not a fair fight. Jesus is going to crush him, in fact, already has.
Yes, and for us as believers, there's nothing, as far as the future is concerned, that we need to fear.
Not
We've already been marked out as believers. Mm-hmm. We already belong to Christ. When he comes back, we're going to be with him.
Yes.
And that's the good news, and we're going to be with him forever. Well, Joy, thanks so much for that call. We hope that answer is beneficial to you. Well, Richard, thank you again for being with us. It's just been a great joy and a blessing, and thank you for blessing our listeners these last 3 days on Basic Gospel. We do have a funding need by December 31st. We hope you can be a part of that, of helping us cross over into the new year in a very strong position. All the information on how you can donate is at basicgospel.net. We'll see you again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.